Well, good morning. You know, as quickly as this snow happened to melt this year, for those of us that suffer bad spring allergies, it just kind of all came at once. So I'm kind of hyped up this morning on allergy meds. Got a cough stuck back here in my jaw. And I got a bottle of trusty water here. So let's hope that we win out against the allergies this morning. If not, I got the right guy in the sound booth. Chad knows when I cough.
Silence me.
You know, if you thumped your Fitbit this morning, it's going to come up and it's going to tell you it's May 7th. On April 2nd, just 36 days ago, we celebrated Palm Sunday. And do you remember on Palm Sunday, we had palm leaves? We wave them here in the church as we celebrated Jesus' triumphant entry into the city. As the people lined the streets, they put down the palm branches, and Jesus rode in on the small colt that morning. You know, the week after Palm Sunday is often called Holy Week. Many churches have services each night to recognize Jesus' death on the cross during that week. We know that some denominations celebrate Lent that begins 40 days before Easter. Some churches conduct Seder suppers. Some churches celebrate Maundy Thursday, which is a celebration of certain sacraments. On Good Friday, being the day that Jesus Christ was crucified, most denominations have a Good Friday service, just as we did. On Easter, just 29 days ago, some churches have a sunrise service, but most of us just have a regular service, which is normally the largest attended service the churches have throughout the year. Now, do you remember Easter Sunday for us in our church? Brother Matt, there you go. We'll promote you. Brother Matt came to his mic. He said what? He is risen. And you know, we didn't really give him a very good response. So a little bit sterner, he said, he is risen. And we got a little bit better response. And finally, the third time, he kind of belted it out, he is risen. And yes, we finally got it. He is risen. He is risen indeed. So if you remember that from that morning, remember that he had to do it three times. Log that away in your brain, the number three. Often Holy Week is the busiest week in Christian church, as we complete that with Easter. We have a great church service usually on Easter. We all go home, we eat our ham and our mashed potatoes and gravy and our side dishes and cheesecake, and then what happens after that? It's just kind of over. We don't seem like we do much. And I must confess, as I went through my sermon files in the last couple weeks, I've got sermons on Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter, but really not much after Jesus arose. As we look at Jesus' 33 years on this planet, each day of his life was clearly a learning and a teaching opportunity for us. But often we forget that after resurrection, he stayed another 40 days on this earth, continued to teach his disciples and be among the people. Some would say he fulfilled his mission given from God, so why didn't he just ascend to heaven from the tomb? If he had done that, some would say, well, he really wasn't risen from the dead. Some of his disciples, some of his followers, they came, they broke into the tomb, they stole his body, they buried him elsewhere, and guess what? He's still dead. And you know what? That would probably be a pretty easy argument for them to win. You know, it was absolutely necessary for Jesus to confirm that to his followers and hundreds more that he did actually raise from the dead. So let's track through his days of those 40 days that I talked about. And I want you to pick out five things this morning that he needed to accomplish that I felt as I looked through the scriptures in that time. So, Katie, if you pop up that first slide on your heads-up display. Why did he stay for those 40 days? Well, the first thing I observed is he stayed to teach and instruct his disciples. The second thing, he needed to commission his disciples to go out and make more disciples. He needed to prepare his disciples for his ascension because he was not going to be here. They were going to lead the church. Jesus loved us enough to die for us, his church. The fifth thing, and what I think probably is the most important thing that he needed to accomplish in those 40 days, was prove beyond all shadow of doubt he is risen. His very first encounter was on resurrection morning, if you remember. Mary Magdalene and one of the others that was often referred to in the scripture as the other Mary came to the tomb early in the morning and it was empty. The angel at the tomb directed them to go and tell the disciples in Matthew 28, verses 8 through 10 and verse 17. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." That was all he said to them. That was all. And they came up, took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. You know, as I kind of studied through this the last couple of weeks, an observation that I made, the women instantly picked up that it was Jesus and that he was risen. And as we go on here in the sermon this morning, you'll see that the men followers, that's a little bit different story. They weren't quite so quick to pick it up. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Once there, some worshiped him. We know that there were still some that doubted that it was really him. In John's account over in chapter 20, verses 19 through 20, the night of his resurrection, he also appeared among them in a locked room, where they were fearing persecution from the Jews. So they were so terrified. The door was locked, but Jesus appeared. He showed them his hands. He showed them his side. And we know that he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. After that encounter, just 8 days later, John chapter 20, verses 27 through 29, again the doors being locked, Jesus appeared among them again. Thomas, the disciple that was often known as Thomas the Doubter, he was present at that meeting. To convince him, Jesus allowed him to touch his hands, his side, and told him not to disbelieve, but to believe. After touching Jesus, Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed." We are in that latter part, instilled in us the need for us to have faith and hope that it really was him, that we need to believe in him. So we're going down to John chapter 21, verse 3. Many believed Jesus was alive, and it was thought that Simon Peter did too. But he was dealing with a lot within his mind. At that point in time, Peter thought he was an absolutely lousy disciple. And he was wrestling with a lot of things in his mind. And I'm not so sure at that point in time that Peter was not saying, "You know what? Maybe the best thing for me to go back and just go fishing. That's what I do best. I'm a fisherman. I'm not a very good disciple." So we see here in this scripture that seven of them went fishing. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out, they got in a boat, they fished all night, they caught nothing. Now some scholars believe that at this point in time, Simon Peter had basically quit as a disciple. He was done with it. He had failed it so badly. He struggled so much with his guilt. He felt so unworthy of Jesus and what his track record had been as a disciple. I kind of wonder, while fishing that night, he was probably remembering cutting off the ear of the high priest's servant in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus healed the servant's ear. And you notice in that scripture, Jesus kind of had to reel Peter in. Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 53, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" You know how many 12 legions of angels is? 72,000 angels. Undoubtedly at his call. So it should be a continuing reminder to us that Jesus always, always had the ability to end this at any point that he wanted to. And he elected not to. When Jesus was seized, all of his disciples, they ran away, including Peter. They failed him again. We know later that night that Peter denied Jesus three times. Three, remember that three, got it? And felt he had failed him at every turn. They had caught no fish all night. But in John 21, verse 5 through 6, 9 through 11, from the shore Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. You go on in verse 9 through 11. When they got out on the land, they saw a little charcoal fire in place, had fish laid on it, there was bread on it. He said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard, handed the net ashore, and it was full of fish, 153 of them, and it didn't rip the net. I'm kind of a student of numerology in the Bible. So as you study the Bible, I'd hope that you pay attention to numbers like 3, 7, 12, 40. Today I'm hitting on number 40 because it appears 159 times in the Bible. The earth was flooded for 40 days. Moses fasted for 40 days. Jesus wandered for 40 days. Resurrection to ascension was 40 days. The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years. You kind of get the idea? So the net contained 153 fish. Like I said, I'm kind of a numerology kind of nut. 153 fishes. It's not a number used anywhere else in the Bible. In biblical times, fishes were caught so much apiece. That's how they were sold, so much apiece. The count would have been important to them to sell 153 fish, which would have been a lot for a little fishing boat that had handheld nets, no mechanical stuff of any kind to operate nets. So this is the lake in appearance, we know, and it's the third time, the disciples have seen him after the resurrection. I would think by this time, especially after that big fish catch, that the disciples would certainly all believe in him and really know that it was Jesus and that he was really risen. Now we get on in chapter 21 as Jesus continues to teach his disciples. It was evident that Peter was going to be an important leader in the future of Christianity. Peter was told in Matthew 16, verse 18, that he would be the rock and I will build my church. All that had happened with Peter, I discussed with you earlier. Jesus knew how much he needed to encourage Peter. As we look at the disciples at that time, they were really a ragtag bunch. As Myron preached last week about the unity of the church, I couldn't help but think about the disciples. You know, at that point in time, they're about as far from being a united group as you could get. But Jesus loved Peter. He had picked him to lead the church. He had picked him to unify the church. So on in chapter 21, verse 15 through 19, Jesus said, sit down with them after breakfast. Peter is questioned. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Yes, Jesus, you know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. This is one of those three things, as Jesus once again said, do you love me? The second time. He said it again, the third time. Do you love me? His core, his base, his initial church, it was important that they believed in him and loved him to the point of service. We know that disciples loved him, that they dedicated themselves to him to the point of service, even to the point of death. Never again did any of them ever deny him. Of the disciples, only John, the writer of Revelation, lived to be an old age, but the rest suffered for serving Jesus, one being crucified upside down, burned to death, stoned, martyred, stabbed, pierced with spears, tortured to death, public execution, and one was beheaded. His 40 days with them was so important to bring them to that total dedication that he needed from them to serve him. So as we continue in the 40 days, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. It's believed that as many as 500 witnesses saw him alive during his 40 days. Myron shared the scripture in John 17, verses 20 through 21, as Jesus prayed for his disciples. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. As you read on through that chapter, Jesus wanted so much the unity that he needed in his church. In John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, John says that in the 40 days, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. There's many other times that Jesus was seen during the 40 days, as they said, that's not recorded. There's some this morning that I have not shared with you. I mentioned to Ben this week that as I did my outline for the service, I said, Ben, I've got way too much scripture. And Ben told me, he says, you can't have too much scripture. So I went back and I looked and I thought, nah, I'm not going to add it, though. But there are several other accounts where Jesus appeared to people to prove that he was alive. But you think about it, Jesus shoved an awful lot into those 40 days to fill the five things that I listed on that first slide that I showed you. We know that he obviously spent much time teaching his disciples. I'm not sure during his life how attentive sometimes that his disciples were to what he was saying. But now I'm kind of convinced that after they had seen him, knew that he had raised from the dead, that it was him, that he was alive, that they were much more teachable than they had maybe been before. He needed to prepare them because he wasn't going to be here. When he ascended, they needed to be the church. They were going to be Christianity, what would need to be led on. He was not going to be here. Most of all, he needed to establish unquestionable proof that he had risen from the dead. All he did was for us. And he needed to establish all of that in those 40 days before he left us. Now it was time to commission his disciples and us as well. Over in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, you look at a lot of accounts and it's kind of, you see where Jesus was raised from the dead. And then what? The Great Commission. Not much in between. Kind of got to get into scriptures and you got to do some studying to see what went on in those 40 days. But we're to the point where he has commissioned his disciples in Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He has now commissioned them to what their mission will be for him. It says, after commissioning them over in Luke chapter 23, verses 50 through 53, and he led them out far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, were continually in the temple, blessing God. Jesus was now gone. Hopefully you've seen how important these 40 days were for Christianity. He has gone to heaven now. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. But you know, in his 33 years on this third rock from the sun, do you know that Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies? He was an important part of another 270 ramifications that occurred because of him. For one man to do all that, here's what the odds would be in Las Vegas. 1 times 1 with a comma, 17 zeros. I have absolutely no clue what that number is. You kids can write it down and tell me later. But we know that our Jesus Christ did it. It was absolutely impossible odds. Because nobody could win those odds. Nobody but Jesus Christ. He did it all because he loved us. He wanted us to be with him in eternity through payment of our sins, through his broken body and his shed blood. And that is now possible. He beat the odds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us as you do. Thank you for suffering as you did so that we have a path to spend eternity with you in heaven. You ensured we have unquestionable evidence to share with the lost that you are real, you are sufficient, you are enough for us if we believe in you. Thank you for allowing us to live in a nation that we can still openly worship and share about you. As we just looked at the Great Commission today, Lord, let us be about making disciples of the nations as you have asked us to do. We ask all this morning in your Jesus Son's name, our Lord and Savior. Amen.